Wow. This is so stupid. Well, hey, hi, how are you? Andy's Things and Stuff. Very tired. I'm trying to open a beer. It's actually a Spotted Cow I got. But apparently over in Wisconsin, they haven't heard of this twist-off technology. And I don't think I own a bottle. I've got a wire cutter. Maybe this will work. No, I'm going to hurt myself with that. I don't know how to open this beer. At least with what I have. I was just planning on, you know, opening it and starting the podcast. I wasn't planning on having to have a special tool to start the podcast. Pocket knife? No, I'll hurt myself. Oh, well, anyway. It's Andy's Things and Stuff. Thanks for joining me. Episode 37. I'm very, very tired. I'm also, well, I've got whiskey. I can have some of my Basil Hayden here. I'm really annoyed. I want to drink this Spotted Cow that I got from my friend Kevin Hartman up in the cities. Came down to the Great Plains section, and he brought me a case, a Spotted Cow, or a 12-pack or a case. I don't know. It was a big box. I think it was a case. And I'm very excited to drink one, but I can't open it. Okay, I'm just going to have to... I've got tools back here. Hang on. I'm going to try and figure it out. I got my headphones off. I'm walking away. Here. Oh, yeah, this will work. I got a big-ass tool for taking apart and building ARs, so that'll probably... There's something on this guy that'll get this bitch open. Okay. I don't know what this is for. Oh, this actually looks like a bottle opener. Never opened a... No, that's the wrong... It's going the wrong way. Good God. Oh. Castle nut. There we go. Or whatever the buffer tube nut, whatever that's called. I think this is going to... Oh, I got it. Yes. Okay. Now I can have my Spotted Cow. That is good beer. That is quite good beer. So, I'm tired. I had kind of a lot of beer over the last several days. It's been a great last week. I don't have a guest today because I was very, very busy. I'm the match director for the Great Plains Section Championship in Canton at Sioux River Sportsman's Club, and it's grown into a very big deal, which I'm very honored and flattered that has grown into what it has become. We sold out in less than a month. The first year we had it in 2021, we had right around 100 shooters total, or 100 paid shooters plus staff, so around, I don't think 100 showed up, quite 100 showed up on match day, because there's always people who just don't show up. If I spent 100, I guess life happens, and sometimes it's just like, I'm screwed. But if I spent 100 bucks and it's non-refundable, like, I'm going to do everything I can to get there. But, I mean, some people had sick kids, and, you know, life happens. But now this time around, it sold out in less than a month. I was incredibly honored. Word has spread. People from all over. There was a group of 7 people from Arizona that came to the match. That was pretty cool. And at least 3 of them had ties to Southeastern South Dakota. 2 of them were from Canton. That was pretty cool. And then another guy, Nathan, I went to high school with him in Beersford. So he actually came up with his wife, Amy, last year and hung out at the match. And Amy ended up helping us a lot on staff day. I think I had my shit a little more together this year. I didn't really need Amy's help much. But anyway, it's a relief to have it over because it is such a big undertaking. If you've ever had to plan an event like this, and you probably haven't because not many people have to plan an event like this where you've got 100 people and it's pretty much, it's all on you. And it's a little stressful. It's not too bad, but it's a lot of planning and then a lot of execution. And you try to get everything, you try to get all the details all ironed out. And like, I'm good at big picture details, you know, things like we are providing lunch for the match. How are we doing this? If you run a match, by the way, or any big event where, okay, lunch has to happen, we have to provide it, but how can we do it quickly and efficiently? Here's what you do. You get box lunches from Subway, and you have them easy catered in, and people grab their stuff. They either hang out and eat it there, or they take it to wherever they want to go, like maybe their next stage that they're going to be on, and then they eat it there. And it's fantastic. It's so easy. A lot of other matches I've gone to, there'll be like the slop truck that pulls up. It's like, what would you like? I'm going to have a Chipotle chicken. We're all out of that. We didn't make enough. And then it takes forever to eat lunch at these damn things. And it's so annoying. So matches, just whatever it is. It comes in a box. People take it. They go and they eat it. Do MREs for all I care. It'd be better. But I ripped that idea off from the Cornhusker match down in Nebraska. They did it, and when all of a sudden I was doing a match, I'm like, well, I'm doing that because that's really smart. Plus, cold sandwich is great on a hot day. But anyway, big picture details like that. I'm good at those. You know, we got to have lunch. Okay, there's lunch. We got to order trophies. All right, I order trophies. That's done. But then it's like the little details that I suck at. I'm not good at the little details, like organizing the trophies so that we can hand them out in an orderly fashion after the match. Like, they were still sitting in the box when I got them from the manufacturer. Like, it was just, you know. And then there's all the little things, like, we have to have these printers to print the scores out at each, you know, every time somebody shoots a stage. And they're Bluetooth printers, and when they work fantastic. The older tablets that we use don't like to stay connected. They keep losing connectivity, and it drives me crazy. So, yeah, there's all those little things like that. And, yeah, but it's a lot, though. I mean, designing stages, organizing all the volunteers. It's mostly easy because people just keep volunteering, and I'm so thankful to those people. But it can be stressful, like, as it gets closer, like, is everybody going to show up? Please show up. You know, making sure we've got water for everybody, getting all the targets. Like, I had this random panic, like, oh my God, it looks like we don't have enough targets because there's only three of each kind of target over there, three boxes. Oh my God. And I do the math. Oh, we've got plenty. Okay. It was fine. It's all those little odds and ends. But I'm so tired. I'm so tired. How tired am I? I'm so tired. The getting ready for bed felt like as big a chore as raking all the leaves at Newton Hills. That was dumb. I was so tired. If my wife walked into our bedroom and said, I'm going to rock your world, I would have said, you're going to drive school bus tomorrow? Anyway, no, I was very tired. I can't believe I actually shot fairly well. I earned a plaque for the first time in 5 years. Third A class. Woot. There were some studs that showed up and they shot well, and you know, the studs won and I didn't, because that's how it goes with the big matches. But anyway, yeah, like I said, I don't have a guess because I was doing all that for the last week, and it was kind of a lot. I have some stories though, because stories are good. Like, stories are why you listen to this podcast, if you've been listening to this podcast for any length of time, which, by the way, this podcast is brought to you by SiouxFallsShooting.com. Let's see. I'm recording this on Monday night, the 22nd. On the 24th, that's a Wednesday, I've got South Dakota Enhanced Permit class. So if you want to get your Enhanced Permit, that class starts at 4 o'clock. I've still got a few, I think three spots left in that. If you are renewing, I take that back. I think I have two spots left in the new part of the class. Actually, I could take more as long as there's not extras in the renewal half of the class. Renewals, I think there's three spots left there, so SiouxFallsShooting.com. Podcast 10 gets you 10% off. Also, coming up in June, the 17th, I'm going to be in Hot Springs for a South Dakota Enhanced Permit class. So that is already starting to fill up. So if you're out west or you just want to take a class and go to the Black Hills, well, you could do that too. We're going to be down in Hot Springs shooting at the range down there. The Fall River Gun Club is where the shooting will take place. I haven't been there yet, but I've seen it on Google Earth, and it looks awesome. They've got a really long rifle range, like 800-900 yards, something like that. Pretty cool. That's where we'll be doing that, Hot Springs. And then I'm going to go shoot a match the next day in Spearfish with my buddy Bruce, who was also working the match. Thanks, Brucey. So, SiouxFallsShooting.com. Got Intro to Handgun this Sunday, the 28th as well. So, SiouxFallsShooting.com. There's the ad. Okay, stories from the match. Well, here's a story that wasn't from this year's match, but it's a story from last year's match. that did not happen this year. I was so proud of myself. I was so proud of myself that I didn't delete the match. Delete the match? How do you delete the match? Well, here's the thing. We use this website that's called Practice Score. It's like practical shooting scoring. It's a website. We get to use it for free. It's a quite powerful tool. And I learned last year that, thank God, it operates in essentially two sections, but when you're using it, you don't realize. There's the registration side, and then there's the scoring side. And the scoring side really resides on tablets and phones. It doesn't really live on the internet. Like, the results of it do, but not the actual scoring. That happens in an application on a phone or an iPad or a tablet or whatever. But all the registration, that's a living, breathing thing on the internet. Well, last year, that's what I deleted the day of the first day of the match. How did I delete it? Well, I was trying to delete the Great Plains section volunteer sign up to build stages thing I had set up, which was always right in front of the match. And it was always like, it wasn't the match. If I needed to work on the match thing, it was the second thing in the list and kept driving me crazy. So the morning of the match, I'm like, I'm going to just get that out of the way. So I just don't have to deal with it anymore. Drop down, delete. Are you sure you want to do this? Yes, it's just the sign up for helping. Why would I need to worry about that? Why is it asking me if I want to delete? Of course I'm sure I want to delete. I delete it. And then I try to go into the match, and it's not there. I went into absolute banana pants crazy mode. It was the most sinking feeling ever. Now, fortunately, when I shit the bed like this, I usually do something to sort of bail myself out accidentally. It turns out I did do that. Because as I mentioned before, this scoring website, it sort of transparently lives in two places that we don't realize. There's the registration side and the scoring side. Well, luckily, that morning, I had downloaded the match to my phone. All the registration, everybody, their squads, and everything we needed to have was on my phone. So we still had the match. But I deleted the ability to communicate with competitors during the match. It was gone. And there was no getting it back. And I even emailed support at practicescore.com, which they should just go. That email should be, I really fucked up at practicescore.com. And they said, no, there's no backup. We can't get it back. I'm sure there is a backup, but it's probably a giant pain in the balls, and they're not going to deal with it. And yeah. So luckily that saved my bacon. I didn't have any big problem there. But that was last year. This year, I didn't delete the match. There was nothing really, really panicky. We had some mild panics, though. Like, for instance, when we build stages, we use mostly manufactured by guys at our club that know how to weld, which is not me. I do all, like, the computery, technological, social media, website, electronic stuff. Not electrical, but electronic. And not all of it. I do a lot of it, but not all of it. Those guys do that. I can build some walls, you know. I can cut wood and screw things together. I'm pretty good at that. I'm okay at that. When we build stages, I mean, and this happens everywhere where matches happen, you have to, like, kind of nail everything down, okay? Because we're putting up these temporary walls. They're not walls like in your house. It's basically a couple of 2x2 boards or 2x4s with some more 2x2s across, and then snow fence to create this wall that you can still kind of see through, but it's a barrier to not allow you to shoot at a target legally or whatever. So we nail everything down because it's South Dakota and the wind blows here. I was listening to the Meat Eater podcast. I might have mentioned this on the last episode. Their trivia show on Wednesdays, and one of the trivia questions was, what is the windiest state? Or what state has the most 20-mile-per-hour plus wind days per year? And yes, that state is South Dakota. So we really are the windiest state. Like, we joke about it, but turns out we actually are. So I'm like, yeah, put 4 nails in those target stands. Let's put 4 in there. Well, we get to, like, the last 2 stages of the match that we're going to build, and we're out of nails, like landscape nails, They're like anywhere from 8 to 12 inches long. We bought a hodgepodge of them. Mostly, I bought all the 8-inch because I didn't realize they weren't 12-inch. In the store, 8 inches looks really big. That's what she said. But it wasn't. It wasn't enough. So we had to go find more nails. And so we did. The guy that runs the other USPSA club near Sioux Falls, Robert, he ordered a bunch on Menards.com, found some there. Got a heck of a deal, $80-some for 50 pounds each. Got 100 pounds of nails. And we got down and we're still short on nails. How the hell are we short on nails? Where the hell are these nails going? So we start pulling nails out of, you know, we were holding down targets with 4, which is probably kind of a lot for the steel thing that's holding a flimsy hunk of cardboard and a couple of sticks. So, okay, we could probably pull a couple of those out. So we pull a couple of those out and it's going, it's happening, but we're still short nails. And now I got these cool X's. My friend Nick, who was on the podcast a couple of months ago, he Cerakote stuff for fun. So I ordered these steel X's that are like where you put your feet to start. And I had him Cerakote them orange so it'd be easy to see them on the ground. And they turned out great. But we didn't have any freaking nails to nail them down with because they got a hole in the middle to nail them down so they stay put. We didn't have any nails. So we finally cobbled together enough nails. We take some of the X's out. So we instead of having 2, we'd have 1. So if it was instead of like feet on marks as the start position, it would be feet on mark as the start position. Yeah. I also got a lot of shit for something that happened accidentally. So when we start shooting a stage, there's like a start position. So it could, you know, most of the time it's like standing with feet on something or other, with wrists below belt. You know, and we have to comply with this before we get the, you know, commands to start shooting our stage or whatever. And so in an effort, remember I mentioned earlier about I'm great at big details, but not little details. Little details, I screw them up all the time. It's always some mundane detail. This is not a mundane detail, Michael! Office Space, great scene. I always put the decimal plate in it. Decimal point in the wrong place or something. Anyway, I forgot what I was talking about. Shit. Little details. Nails. Did I get off the nails? Oh, yeah. Now I'm back. Got it. So, the start position. I had copied and pasted old start, you know, stage brief things, like the things that says all this stuff for the matchbook. So then when Scott, the rangemaster, he's like the head rules guy for the match. He's from Des Moines. He's an awesome dude. He did a fantastic job. And so he offered and I let him because I think he figured out that I'm not a micromanager, but at the same time, I have trouble letting control of things I don't trust people to do. When it comes to building stuff, I have all the faith in the world and that other people are better and smarter than me at that. When it comes to things like writing the stage brief, well, I know he's better at it, and he's offering to do it. Yes, do it. So he did it, and he just wrote what I had already built or written or worked off of that. He did the detailed one. Mine was just like a general one. And so all this, there's a bunch of start positions where our handgun started unloaded, which it's a thing in our sport that we do, you know, where we have to draw our gun and a magazine, stick it in, load it, and go. It's fine to do like once or twice in a big match, but 5 out of 12 times is kind of annoying. And I'm telling you, it was just a copy paste error. And the people that worked for me when I was at the radio station will tell you I made a lot of copy paste errors. So next year, we're not going to have any unloaded starts, folks. Not going to have any unloaded starts. Not one. Guarantee it. But no, it was a very, very good time. I've said a million times how I've met so many friends from all over this part of the country. It's 100% true. All the people that I've met and gotten to know over the last 5-6 years, I've been traveling to matches all over Iowa, Nebraska, Minnesota, Iowa. Especially my friend Kevin, who gave me the Spotted Cow beer. Let me have some of that. It is damn good. You can only get it in Wisconsin. And I don't know if it's one of these legal things where, you know, like Smokey and the Bandit back in the day, you could only get Coors beer west of the Mississippi. So they're bringing it out to wherever that took place, North Carolina. I don't remember where it took place. But they were hauling Coors beer where it wasn't supposed to be. I don't know if that's what the deal is or not, but no, the Spotted Cow is some good stuff. Really good stuff. And it does say only in Wisconsin right there on it. Anyway, yeah, so school's about to end. That's a thing that's happening. Last week of school in Sioux Falls. Other schools, I think, are already out. That's interesting. Yeah, summer has kind of arrived. I sweat a lot. I got really sunburned. Oh, here's another story. I was out at the gun club last week to mow the lawn because it had not been mowed yet this year. And it was a little shaggy. It needed to be done. And, you know, we want the range to look nice when, you know, people from all over are coming. We had by the way, we had people from California, Arizona, Maryland, Florida. That was another one. A guy that went to high school in Canton, graduated in 1984, saw we were having having this big match, and he signed up for it and came home, visited family, you know, and got to meet him. That was cool. And then where else? All over the place. A lot of Nebraska, a lot of folks from around Omaha, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Illinois, some Indiana. It was amazing how many states people came from. But anyway, so I go to mow the lawn on, what was it, Tuesday? I think it was Tuesday last week. Tuesday was kind of the first real good warm day. Maybe last Monday was too. I don't remember. But it was a warm day. It was a good day to mow the lawn. Damn good day to mow the lawn. And I mowed the lawn, and I very diligently got the sunscreen out and got that all taken care of. You know, I sprayed it on my arms, you know, got both arms real good, took my sunglasses off, kind of sprayed my face, which is the way I just do it. It's just easier. I just close my eyes real tight, hold my breath, hold my sunglasses as far away as I can, upwind of the spraying, and then I spray my face, my neck, back of my neck, shoulders that are exposed for my shirt. And then I was all done. But if you were paying attention just then, you noticed I didn't say anything about my legs. Well, I never spray my legs because they burn. They get dark. They burn. They get dark. And then after a while, they just don't really burn anymore. And I know you're supposed to wear sunscreen. But as the summer goes on, my entire life, once I get really, really, really dark, I don't really, really burn anymore unless I really, really overdo it. Well, I hadn't done that at all yet this year. And that's also when my legs are getting a lot of indirect sunlight, you know, walking around, I'm outside doing stuff like one side of my legs is getting some and then the other side is and then it's only, you know, just below my knee or depending on where my shorts are. Well, when you're sitting on a riding lawnmower, your legs are just pretty much locked into one position, getting fried in the sun the whole time. And my legs hurt for a good 3 days. It wasn't until about Saturday when they felt normal again, or at least my knees. My knees were what really got fried. It actually felt, when I was walking, like I had scabs all over my knee. You know how when you have a scab on your knee and then you sit for a while and you stretch it and then you stand up and it sort of wrinkles all that hard, crusty skin together? That's what it felt like. It was so dumb. It was so dumb. I couldn't believe I did it, but I did it. Anyway, yeah, so I'm not sure I have anything more. I don't think. I did notice that my last, what was it, 4 episodes in a row, I was joking about how, like, I had the idea to have my sister-in-law on a few weeks ago, Chelsea, whose name I misspelled, in the title. So the cover art is still wrong, but the type title in the website is still fine. I had had a lot of dudes on in a row, so I was like, hey, it's time, we need a female on. So I'm like, who can I get? Oh, I got her. Okay. And so then after I had Chelsea on, then I had my niece Sydney on. Oh, okay, there you go. And then I had Tosh on, and then I realized, oh, it's been like a chick fest lately, so I gotta have some dudes on. And I was actually planning on recording some pod, like talking to a bunch of people, you know, during the match, but that was so dumb. Why did I think I was going to do that? It didn't even come close to happening. Like, I had my podcast recorder machine, my good old Mixcast, in the truck, and it never left the truck. It stayed there the whole time. I did have to dig a microphone out of it to do announce awards or whatever yesterday, but I never ended up doing anything. So, but no, it was fun. Had Tosh on. I gotta say this: I'm a little disappointed, Tosh. I'm a little disappointed. Sorry, I haven't listened to your second episode. I still got it queued up. It's in my, you know, my newest, latest, greatest, whatever. But Tosh, you just didn't give me the same bump you normally give me. What's the deal? I mean, last time you were on, I got like 900 and some people listen, and I guess it's not as interesting anymore. Well, total plays, that one's up there. Way up there. Anyway, no, it was fine. It was, you know, Tosh, it was still double what most of my episodes are. So you're still, that was a really fun episode to do. Like, when I got, I listened to it before I posted it, and I was like, wow, we say like a lot. But I also was thinking, because I just said like, that's why I said that. I don't think we said it that much. I'm sure we did. We probably did say like a lot. But I did notice that it was like putting on a very comfortable old pair of shoes. And I'm not saying Tosh is an old pair of shoes. She's kind of an old pair of shoes. I mean, she's closing in on 40. I don't mean that way it sounds. What I mean is, it was so easy to just, you know, I know what's going to make her laugh. She knows what's going to make me laugh. The back and forth, we're salt and pepper. We're peanut butter, jelly, whatever you want to say. It just, it's fun. It works. And it was a lot of fun to do that again. So, and thank you for listening to that. And thank you for listening to this one. My website is SiouxFallsShooting.com. I also have a website for the podcast, obviously. That's AndyErickson.com, E-R-I-C-K-S-O-N. If you want to shoot me an email, just about whatever. I did get a lot of nice notes since the last podcast. Still, nobody's really emailed me, which is fine. Andy@AndyErickson.com is the email address I use to do stuff for this. I had a couple of people. God, what was it? I can't remember what they were. It was Facebook comments mostly. People. Oh, I remember what I was going to say. There was a guy that really dug the episode. Box 22 shells just fell on the floor. That was weird. This room is such a disaster. I need to clean it so bad. But he listened to the episode with No Hands Pants Mary, ADD guy himself. I heard from a couple other people that said they really loved that episode. That was kind of cool. Mary actually hinted over Instagram, like, hey, I'd be happy to do another episode. Oh, look. Oh, my God. That's weird. As I'm recording, she sends me a message on Instagram. That's weird. I'm in the wrong account. That's why I saw it on the Facebook, whatever. She sent me a reel. But that's really funny that I'm actually talking about Mary, and she sent me a message she sent me a reel over Instagram. And of course, it was from kids getting hurt, because that's one of the greatest things ever. I figured out how to play sound off my phone. Here, I'll just play. Let me start that over. Kids on. He's trying to get on the monkey bars. He can barely reach it, and he's going. He's going. He's going. He's going. He's almost to the end. He's got two left. One more. And then he just landed on the top bar with his nuts. Oh, God. That's terrible. Jeez. Ow. Ow, ow, ow. Thank you for that, Mary. Holy balls. Or no balls. Poor kid. I got my buttons back. Like my intro music, I played that off the buttons. So I've got buttons. I've started to put the buttons back together. And if you listen to me on the radio, you know what I'm talking about. You know, things like...
Flamingos are mean.
Oh.
They bite.
I need to beef up the sound on that one.
Flamingos are mean. They bite.
If you're wondering, what is that from? What is that from? Episode 1 of Band of Brothers is what that's from. There's also this classic from the radio back in the day.
Tornadoes.
Oh, the Tornadoes. We haven't had any tornadoes yet. Thank goodness we haven't had the tornadoes. But we're going to get some tornadoes. You know why?
We didn't have tornadoes here until we started putting into traffic circles. Because on the counter, you want to know why?
Why?
That when people go round and round in circles, it causes disturbance in the atmosphere and causes tornadoes.
Well, I suppose it can. Well, thank you for listening to Andy's Things and Stuff. I appreciate it. Podcast 10 gets you 10% off at SiouxFallsShooting.com. Thank you, Kevin, for the spotted cow after I finally used an AR multi-tool to get it open. Come on. They can have a twist top one of these days. It'll work just fine. All right. I'm going to sign off. Here's my outro music.